I am Jackson. I'm going to be going to Georgia to do a talk on Friday night at the Rabun County Public Library. This is not a little library con. They have hundreds of people come to their talks. The thing is called Library After Dark, and I will be there talking about the Georgia Bigfoot Conference and about Bigfoot. And I'll also be there with my buddy Marshall Masters, who is the Planet X and survival guru. Marshall is in town over there near, and he's going to be in Hayesville, North Carolina, right across the border from Clayton, Georgia. And he's going to be there, and so he's coming down. We're going to have a blast, and I can't wait to see him. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of cool stuff. So that's my shout-out for what's going on. And again, shout-out to She-Squatchers. They're great. Now, tonight we have my very good friend Israel Petty. He calls himself a demonologist. Good evening, Israel. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
I'm doing great. I am so glad that you were able to come on the show tonight, because the topic that we're going to discuss is so important, and it's so engaging and so exciting. What happened? You know, it's funny. Things happen for a reason. You sent me a text message on Facebook Messenger several weeks ago, and I just got it 20 minutes ago. Would you please read that text message? And Jackson's going to understand. Jackson has not heard it yet. None of our listeners know about this, but it's a great text message. Then we're going to talk. This is a good topic. So Israel, fire it up.
Well, first let me go ahead and throw this little, I guess you'd call it a disclaimer. I have his name here, so I will be letting him know that his name is mentioned on this podcast. But anyway, but I'll go ahead and start from the top. It says, I have an older cousin. His name is Dwayne Ledbetter. He's a reverend and a ghost hunter, a big motivator when I felt like I wasn't sure if God wanted me to do what I do. And let's see here. It froze for a second. And basically what happened was he was explaining to me to not feel ashamed of what I do as a believer. And if not for being a ghost hunter himself, I don't know if I would have continued having the courage to do what I do, to be quite honest with you.
Because there is a little bit of a conundrum when it comes to the religious aspects of being a ghost hunter. Is that right?
That's correct.
And that's a very interesting topic. What are the religious aspects of this? You know, I think about it all the time. And in fact, it's really interesting. People ask me what I do. They all know I'm a former college professor. They know that I've got all these degrees in quantitative science and computer science. And I say I produce the Georgia Bigfoot Conference and the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference and the South Carolina Lizard Man Festival. And they look at me like I've lost my mind. And I say, and I write the Bigfoot column. And you know, I don't really care, because I love what I do. The exploration of what we call the paranormal and the unknown is fascinating to me. I think it's extremely important to science. I am a scientist. Today on the show Bigfoot and Company, the podcast, there's a plug for bigfootandcompany.com. Go check it out. Matt Delf and I interviewed a gentleman from the press down in Charleston. There was a huge rash of Bigfoot sightings over a period of about a day and a half. And for some reason, all that got shut down. It became a real hot potato. Nobody wanted to publish it. We're going to be doing some research. We're going to figure out what the heck is going on down there. Because, first of all, I love Charleston. I'm doing a Comic-Con down there. It's called Revenge of the Geek. It's going to be in Somerville, South Carolina. And that's going to be on April the 13th. So everybody check out Revenge of the Geek. It's going to be good. The fact is we're doing research. And Jackson, you do research. You're a member of BFRO, the Bigfoot Research Organization. You're out there. You're out there camping. You're out there for Bigfoot, correct?
Most definitely, yeah. I get every opportunity that I can. Set up trial cams.
You're out there looking for Bigfoot. Now, Israel, now research and doing discussions, meaningful discussions, on the combination of religion versus ghost hunting. Now, you told me you were going to provide us a couple of different Bible verses that would help us get started. So why don't you give us some of those and let's see what we can come up with. I think this is a great topic. I will digress just a moment. And I will say that one of the best talks I ever gave was on psychic addiction. And it had to do with people that are addicted to calling into psychics and spending thousands of dollars. And that discussion started just like this. There were a group of us sitting around. We met someone that had addiction. We started talking about it. We really went a long way with this. And this was like 15 years ago up at the Ryan Research Institute. So I think when we look at paranormal down under, it's just like Scarycast. It's just like Foot and Company. This is a kind of a proving ground to talk about these topics so that we can spur some additional research. So what have you got for us, Israel?
Okay, well, this is my favorite verse to get into, and ironically, I only found it about 2 months ago, so I ended up actually adding it into my book right before I published it. But it's 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, and basically it says here, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And that one to me is a huge deal because you have here, it says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. The highlight here is test the spirits. In other words, not all spirits are the same. And obviously the notion here of do not believe every spirit that is in front of you.
Absolutely. Now, how have you or have you been able to take that advice and integrate that into your practice of ghost hunting?
Well, this is less about advice and more about showing the public that it's not as cut and dry as traditional denominations make it, traditional churches make it. The ones who do not want to touch this stuff, the ones who are afraid to get a little dirty and say, hey, you know, let's talk about these details. Let's talk about the things that make us feel uncomfortable. And they would rather steer away from it entirely. And there can be a danger of not knowing enough. And sure, there can be a danger of getting too far into it. As any churchgoer would know, King Solomon got way too deep into it. And now we have all of these pagan ideologies that branch from that. But it is important to be informed. And here in 1 John, it makes it very clear that, you know, yes, we're not supposed to believe every spirit based on, you know, what we hear. You know, just because a spirit comes to me and says, hey, I am your grandmother. I'm the spirit of your grandmother. You know, no, I have to go test that spirit. And that to me speaks volumes because it's not common to find verses like this in the Bible. And to be honest with you, these are not verses that I grew up on. I had to hunt these things down.
Test the spirit. That's great. That's like Jackson. That's like when you and I go out, when I go out to do research or when you go out and do research, whatever we find, we have to test it to make sure it is accurate and correct. I mean, because Jackson, when you go out and you're searching for Bigfoot and you find evidence, you have to test it to make sure it's real, correct?
Oh, most definitely. You've got to catalog everything that you find and then do everything that you can to prove or disprove your find. It's the same in paranormal research and everything like that. In some of the paranormal research that I've done and just from what I've heard said there from Israel, I've heard that spirits can manifest themselves in form that they want to either lure you in or gain something from you or even to draw your energy. So most definitely. But you always do all the research that you possibly can do, and until you can prove or disprove anything, it's all open clutter. It's all just right there in front of you, and you just have to put the pieces of the puzzle together.
That's correct. I mean, I think, frankly, Israel, that's really good life advice right there. Make sure that whoever you're talking to, I'm going to just bring this right back to just regular everyday. Make sure that who you are talking to makes sense and they seem legitimate. You have to test everybody, because if you don't, you don't know what kind of advice you're going to get. So, I mean, I think that's a wonderful verse, and it's a good guy. That's just a guideline for life. So, as a ghost
on all planes.
I mean, as a ghost hunter, you know, that's exactly what you need to do. I mean, we see things on television. We see ghost adventures. We see all this. You know, who knows how many takes it took them to get what they got. But the fact is, we need to be sure of who we're talking to and what they're talking about. Got to make sure, you have to test them. All right, what else have you got? I know you said you were going to get a couple of Bible verses. And so what are some other
There is another tier that I have held on to for quite a while. It's actually one of the staples to a chapter in my book. And I'm going to try not to give too much of my book away here, but one of the reasons why many Christians do not want to get into the nitty-gritty of ghost hunting, or why I don't like calling it ghost hunting. I like calling it paranormal investigating. It's cleaner. We shouldn't treat ghosts like they're animals that we're just scouting. But this is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. And the reason why I want to get into this is because there are Christians who, when they hear paranormal investigating, they think to themselves, well, wait a second. You know, my preacher, or how I grew up, they always told me that the dead are asleep. They can't hear us. The dead know nothing. And we hear these common phrases. And some of those phrases are actual Bible verses, but they're taken heavily out of context. It's cherry-picked verses. And this verse here is it not only leads to, no, wait a second, these ghosts, these apparitions, they are definitely conscious and they're definitely alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start from the top here and let you guys hear it. So this is speaking of Jesus. This is right after his crucifixion. It says, after being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And basically it's just a quick reminder there at the end where it says, eight and all were saved through water. That's Noah and his family. And it's referring to those who were disobedient during the days of the flood. Those people that died during the flood are in hell, or also known as Sheol. Those are the imprisoned spirits. Now, of course, we know that anyone who is in Sheol, those are people who were in chains of bondage. And what is special about this here is that Jesus is making proclamation. He is preaching to these spirits. So there's two heavy points to be made here. One is Jesus is preaching to, well, you're not going to preach to someone who's asleep. I'll put it that way. They're awake, they're conscious, and they're listening. And the next thing, why would you preach to someone who is in hell? We hear once you're in hell, you are stuck there. You are trapped. So it's important here to keep in mind, why would you preach to the damned if you are damned? And I'm going to try not to go too far into that direction, because then that gives too much of my book away. But it is a very important part of my research, my studying. But no, these spirits, they're very much awake. They're listening. And this verse proves it. the very first thing Jesus did when he died was he started preaching.
That's very interesting.
Okay.
Very
and we have a moment. And we have a moment of silence.
Yeah. Sorry about that. My son came up from under my desk and hit his head.
No, and we had a moment of silence because we were thinking about what you were saying.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the unscripted show. This is we find out what we do and we comment, and sometimes we have to take a moment and think. I believe I'll interject something here. The structure of the universe, as I believe in it, is written in a paper by Dr. Ronald Bryan, and it talks about areas with more dimensions than we have here, and areas with less dimensions than we have here. And I personally believe, based on Dr. Ron Bryan's paper, that when we die, that going to the light means we're going to a wormhole and we're going to a higher dimension. Now, we do not know what's up there. We don't. That is not, we are not privy to that. We're not supposed to be privy to that. And I mean, I think in the Bible it says, while on earth, dwell on earthly things. A little bit of speculation is good, but, you know, while we're down here, let's deal with earthly things. Now, here is an earthly thing that crosses over Israel to what you're talking about. And this is a story. I've told it on a couple of other shows, and I probably told it to Jackson the last time we had a show. But here's the point. When I was selling life insurance, there was a lady that told me she missed her father very much, and she was standing in the kitchen, and she thought to herself, "Daddy, I miss you so much. I love you." And she heard him say directly to her, "Honey, don't worry. I'm just right over here. You can't see me, but I'm right over here and I'm with you." And I knew that the lady was telling me the truth. She heard her father tell her that. And that was proof to me that Dr. Ron Bryan's paper is correct, that her father went to an area, to a higher dimensional plane, and was able to come back down here and was able to see her and talk to her. I mean, it makes you, I'll be honest with you, it makes you want to be a better person because you don't want to disappoint those that have left the earth and have gone on. So, you know, I think it's a good thing. But, and I don't even know where I was going with this, but it seemed germane at the time. So, well, I guess it has to do with understanding what goes on where. We have many instances where people have seen Jesus or a Jesus-like figure enter into their lives that obviously came from another dimension, another place, and came down and needed to help them. So Israel, how does that fit in to your work and what you do and your research?
Well, let me start from here. The whole reason why I entered my research to begin with was because I did feel a calling to be what some would call a spiritual warrior. Of course, that does seem a little vague for many. So I was basically studying to be an exorcist. I was actually seriously considering studying in Rome, going through and through with the classes. Now, I am non-denominational. I do not hold myself to any specific denomination, but I did want to study from the best. And from there, I found myself studying the Bible more and more, and I found this fascination with the afterlife of, you know, if we are casting out these evil spirits, where are they going? Well, in order to know where they're going, you have to know where they're coming from. And, you know, why does it seem like every time you cast one out, it seems to just come right back around the corner? These are very good questions, and we don't seem to have a lot of answers. So I found myself in almost this, I won't say obsession, but I was definitely determined to get an answer. And what I found at the end of this tunnel, of this, you know, just all these questions being answered, as they became answered, as I became, you know, enlightened, I found myself almost feeling like when I explained it to people that I sounded a little crazy. You know, when we hear about the Dead Sea Scrolls as an example, these extra biblical sources that people are to this day are afraid to touch. You know, some of these are just as valid as the rest of the Word of God. Not every single one of these books. I will put that out there. You know, you don't want to trust just anything just because it says it belonged in the Bible, but there are many extra biblical sources that tie in with the teachings of Jesus and the rest of the Bible, and that is where I ended up having to go to get some of these answers, because there are missing parts of the book of Genesis, just as an example, and I had to dig into the book of Enoch to find those answers. And upon finding those answers, I started finding out. It was like a spider's web. It started taking me all these different directions of, wait a second, you know, the snake in the Garden of Eden, they always told me was Satan, but it's not. That snake has a name. It's tied into a very specific angel that we do not talk about. And that's just an example of what I found myself coming across when digging into this research. And once I started getting all of the details down and I started saying, okay, this is my belief system, these are my theories, I'm going to write these down, I'm going to inform people, and then I'm going to apply these to my investigations.
Great. And once you do apply them, what was the first Bible verse that you told us about this evening? What was the first one?
Testing the spirits.
Testing the spirits.
You want to test the spirits to make sure that they are of God. This in this verse, it does seem to nod towards if an angel approaches you, if something from heaven approaches you. Of course, obviously, what is the one thing that God did not create? He did not create sin, and he did not create demons. We are all from God. We are all of God. And I try to explain to people when it says test the spirits to see if they are of God. It does not just mean angelic. This means everything that was under God that is still under God. So these can be ghosts. Because ghosts are simply the disembodiment of a human being. And it could be angelic. It could be a cosmic force that is still serving God. But, you know, it's just important to keep in mind because the verse holds. It has a lot of weight to it. And I definitely feel like anyone who is not sure if ghost hunting is in their heart of hearts, definitely start with that verse and then go from there.
That is a really good verse, that one. I was just going to say, Israel, that I suppose you'd be the one above all to understand why my name's not Samuel, but it is Sam-ael. I'm sure you know the difference.
Yeah, I've heard both pronunciations.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Jackson, if you could tell us, because I would like to be enlightened. I don't know.
You would like to be enlightened? Okay.
Yes.
Well, Samael was he's an archangel. He was one of the fallen ones. My given name originally was Samuel. By the Bible, means heard by God, from what I understand, and with everything I've been through in my life, personal belief, I don't really feel that I've been heard. I'm one of the fallen. So that's why I changed the U to an A, became Samael and not Samuel. It's quite deep.
Well, that's interesting. I had no idea. Learn something new about your friends every day.
We'll have to have a chat one time, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, we can do it next week.
Yeah.
Or the week after. Definitely. We'll certainly do that. And I think it's good to have these talks. You know, I think it's good to have these talks on radio shows, on podcasts, because this generates and people send comment, book, and whatever. And that's the whole point of this. I mean, I'm not messing around with shows. This is not CNN and Fox News. This is reality about the paranormal. I know people will laugh at me about that, but I don't really care because I live in a paranormal world.
Well, I know you
anyway.
Well, I'm actually too old to care myself. So, yeah. Actually, I've got another question for Israel. Into demonology and things like that, like spiritualism and spirits and that sort of thing. Like, what is your idea of latent imprints, like echoes, like latent spirits, sort of spirits that are hanging around? Would you say that, like, I've got theories myself, but I'd like to be able to hear what your idea is on that sort of thing. Like, what are latent spirits?
Yeah.
What are, do they leave a spiritual imprint on time and space through their exit, or how do they make an imprint? Or I'd just like to hear your ideas on that. That'd be very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. What you're actually getting into is something that that non-believers of the paranormal try to they'll try to spin it and go towards something called the stone tape theory. I do believe that theory holds some weight.
Yep.
I don't believe it's the only theory, but it would explain why we see children who are dead. I believe that unless that child is held to the age of accountability, in other words, not all 8-year-olds are, you know, on the same level, if you know what I mean, or 9-year-olds are, you know, everyone has their own age of accountability. And that is where they are no longer necessarily covered by default by the blood of Christ. They have to go out of their way to for that redemption. And when you see a child that's as young as 3 years old or 5 years old that seems to be running up to a house, and you just see this vague apparition of them running up to a house, well, that can only be one of two things, in my opinion. That spirit is either a stone tape, maybe something that child was doing that day that was so intense on the earth that it left an imprint, and, and then the stone tape continues to play. We hear this all the time with women who are jumping off of bridges, these vague spirits that are so hollow, and they jump off a bridge. Not in a million years could you go up to that woman and say, hey, stop. She can't hear you. She's not really there. Something that she did in her past life was so intense on the earth that she left behind a stone tape or an imprint. In those instances, those to me are just nothing more than, you know, what it is.
But, so would you think of that more like an echo, of their spirit passing suddenly? And it's just been impressed and in a loop that's just crossing over and over and over, and they're just stuck in that point in time. Or
so my belief personally is, I don't believe that person is stuck in a loop. The soul themselves, I don't believe they're stuck in a loop, but I think the soul left something behind. Right.
Yeah.
They're not really there. You would never be able to actually reach out and grab them and get their attention. And if you could, I'm sure that would scare the hell out of you. but no, I believe that that imprint is what it is. It is a loop. That person is not trapped in that loop. That person has moved on, but it is something that is visible.
But their psychic echo has left an imprint that is stuck in a loop.
Yeah,
that's the impression that I got myself from the research that I've done. Like, it's an incredible theory, but it's so plausible as well. Like, every spirit leaves some sort of imprint on everything around them. Like, you know, whether it be metaphysical, physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever. And depending on the strength of that actual emotional spirit, they will leave an imprint in time. And I'm glad that I can be able to chat with about that, you, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to have a chat later on as well, because I love to talk about this sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely one of my favorite topics is, whether it is in a stone tape or not. And it is largely debated.
Yep. Most definitely. What are your impressions on this, Dr. John?
Well, it's interesting that you asked me that. I wrote a paper. It's in the... It is in the Association of Computing Machinists Library, the ACM, and it's called Christopher Alexander's 15 Properties Applied to the Design of Communication on the Internet. Christopher Alexander was an architect, and he came up with the idea of design patterns, basically things that occur over and over in architecture, and you can use those to build houses, neighborhoods, and cities. And then, now this sounds like it doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about, but it certainly does, because the right keywords just raise themselves. He then wrote a collection of books, and he talked about his 15 properties of architecture and design. He talked about centers. He talked about echoes. We just heard the word echoes. And I have a feeling that we can immediately apply the principles of architecture by Christopher Alexander. By the way, Christopher Alexander's book, Design Patterns, is the number one best-selling book of all time in computing. That has taught us how to do software engineering. But I believe Christopher Alexander's properties actually might be able to be applied to the spiritual realm as well. Maybe most of them can. We'll see. But we're going to have a talk about that. Because the idea of centers. What's a center? A center is a soul. I'm kind of like laying some groundwork here. But I think that some of the topics that we're talking about now have more universal. What's the word? I think they have more universal application than people would think. So what we're going to do is we're going to have to start doing a little bit of research about this. I started this earlier today on Bigfoot and Company. We're going to do some research on the Charleston conspiracy. Well, we're going to do some research on this. And Israel, I think you're a good person to talk to about this. Jackson, I think you are too. And I want to try to put this forth. Because there are certain universal principles that seem to apply, whether it's architecture, whether it's computing, whether it's spirituality. These principles are universal. And Jackson, I don't think that's the answer you expected, but we're going to work on this. So I'll get back, and I'm going to let you, Jackson, ask the next question, because I just got way off topic.
Not a problem at all. you said you were going to let me go by the, you let me fly by the seat of my pants, and we ride kangaroos here, so that's what I'm going to do right now.
There you go.
Yeah,
hey, Jackson, that's why you and I have this show together, because we work so well, don't we?
Most definitely. Now, another question for you, Israel. Now, have you had many experiences or any experiences in deja vu? Now, I've had experiences come up at really monumental times in my life. Like one that is quite momentous to me. My mum became quite ill. She passed 22 years ago. And in the 2 weeks leading up to her passing, I got deja vu every single day. Everything was just so familiar to me. Or even on the day of the funeral, I'd never been to the church before that we had the service at. Yet the flower arrangements, everyone that was there, everything that was spoken, what everyone was wearing, was so familiar to me that I got accused for being of having no heart because I didn't cry at my own mother's funeral. But that was only because I was just so in awe of everything that was so familiar, and I felt that I'd been there before. I can't explain it any other way. Have you had any experiences like that, or have heard of any experiences like that?
Not the back-to-back deja vu, although I do have my own belief on where deja vu most likely comes from.
Yep.
With deja vu, I don't know if you care to hear it. I can definitely take a dig at this. Yes, I have experienced deja vu. I've actually some of the smallest bits of deja vu would be where a song would kind of enter my mind and would not go away until I would hear it later that day. And I don't mean a couple of songs. I mean the same song. Just the entire day, for 24 hours up until the point that I heard it on the radio or wherever. And I would tell myself, I wonder why that keeps happening. I truly believe that deja vu it came from a dream that we had, whether it's the night before or 2 nights before, a dream we had where we actually dreamt and had a premonition of what was to come, but we didn't remember it.
Okay. It's like, I've had experiences here where I'll just be watching TV and I'll be watching a show and all of a sudden I'll get like a jingle from a TV advertisement in my head. And as soon as the program shuts off and the next ad comes on, that's the jingle of that song. I have that happen so many times.
Yeah, it's almost to the point where it's annoying.
It gets very annoying. It's like, hang on, I just had that in my head 10 seconds ago and now it's on TV. It's like,
Right, yeah.
But see, I've had experiences like that before myself. I'll sort of reminisce a little bit here. When I was younger, I'll just give a little bit of my history here. My father was a Spitfire pilot in the Second World War for the Australian Air Force. Allies, of course, to the US, and he got shot down as a fighter pilot over Salmona in Italy back in 1942 and was taken to prison of war and kept at the camp where they had the Great Escape until he was liberated in 1945. And when I was born, when I first started talking, when I was old enough to understand, my parents started telling me that when I first started talking, I was talking about my old life. And Dad started asking me about my old life. And so I was saying, oh, well, in my old life, I used to fly planes, and he asked more planes and stuff. He asked more questions and things. And I told him that I was shot down. And I described to him what it felt like to be in a parachute and free falling and the sounds and the sensation and everything. And At the age that I could understand, he sat me down and said, look, there's no way that you could have known that. Like, you're only 3 years old. You described to free fall on a parachute to such a T that he got goosebumps. And I've had other experiences like that too of things that go on. Like, I feel that I myself am in touch with the other planes, and I've always left myself open to that sort of thing. And have you ever had any experiences in past life memories? Or
actually, that is the one thing that is the most mysterious to me. I've even heard birthmarks are actually death marks from another
same.
Life.
Same.
I have heard of people in the most vivid.
There was a little boy overseas that had a birthmark on his forehead, and he said who his name was, and that person was actually shot there in the exact same spot, and that's where the birthmark was.
Well, let me ask you this. Were you ever able to find out anything about that life that you felt that you lived? Were you able to find out if you were related to this person?
No. Back in the time, there wasn't the technology or anything. And since then, like, growing older, like, I understand that children have a lot more, you know, they're a lot more open to past lives and things, but as I've gotten older, like, I still have some sort of, I'm still in touch with certain things, but not with that past life. I really wish that I had been able to, you know, be able to delve more into that and find out more about who that person possibly was.
Right, right. And I would encourage you to do so if you're ever able to come across anything about them. And the reason why I say this is because here's the truth. When it comes to past lives, we're starting to touch into the theory of reincarnation. Here's the truth. We either definitely come back as other people or we don't. And if we don't, and I tend to steer more towards we don't, but with that comes more questions than answers, like what you just described. And I had sat down with my wife 4 weeks ago. Oh, hold on. That's actually my wife at the door. Give me just a second.
No worries.
Absolutely. We have certain things we have to take care of, like when our wife is at the door. So
sure do. Yeah, so like that's another thing I always wonder about too, is like I was gonna say one other thing that I wanted to ask you too, like regarding past lives and connections and so forth. Do you believe that the people that you draw to you in this life now have been connected to you in some way, shape, or form in a past life, and that in every incarnation that you have, those people are drawn back into your new life in another form, way, shape, or form? Know what I mean? I was just going to say that I believe that everyone that is in my life now or that I've come into contact with has been for a reason, because we're all interconnected as spirits. And in every incarnation, you know, we all catch up again. We're all interconnected spiritually.
I'll interject and I'll say I agree with you. I think the people that we're around today are those that were around us at another time. And I think we do collect friends, relatives, you know.
Sister, brother, mother, friend, father, grandfather, cousin, uncle, whatever.
Who may have been a friend in a past life, might be a cousin now, whatever. But I believe that. And I've seen evidence of that. I have.
Most definitely.
So, yeah, So, Jackson, I think you're 100% right there. That's just personal belief.
Yep. Yep. Well, I've come across evidence of that myself.
Well, I don't have a whole lot into this just because personally, for one, I've never experienced any of these things, nor have I given this a whole lot of thought. But I do have one theory that might have some weight to it. I haven't been able to really apply this, hence why I asked if you knew if this person was related to you. I have a theory that when we experience the life of another person, that it's possible that the reason why we feel what they feel is because they are part of our DNA and they're part of our ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of, I don't know if you guys ever mess with the Assassin's Creed video games, but the character essentially accesses the DNA of their ancestor and then they can live the life they live. And I feel there could definitely hold some weight to having a tie-in with your ancestor or your great-great-grandfather, whoever it may be, to where you feel what they felt. It's not a very heavy theory. Definitely not something that I think about a lot, but it is definitely something that I sat down with my wife very recently and was talking to her about.
Yep. I certainly agree with genetic memory and all that sort of thing as well, being in touch with your ancestors, that lot. Part of my father's family came from Hawaii, and they'd been surfing for hundreds of years. And it's like from the time I could walk, I could stand up on a surfboard as easy as I could walk. I've been able to track another part of my father's family comes from Navajo. I'm a natural-born tracker, and everything I can track, footprints. It's just built into me like a genetic code. I'm not sure if that's just getting in touch with my ancestors, but it's just something that, like being born in Australia and not being shown those sort of things in those places, I've just been able to pick it up that naturally, that it's just a part of my, DNA being as far as I can see. It's like right. I'm just drawing on memories from past lives or from ancestors or, yeah. It's always bummy yet.
Well, this is certainly Israel, this has certainly been an interesting talk tonight. If you would, we have about 10 minutes left. Tell us the name of your book, how we can get a copy of it on Amazon, and just a little bit about what it's about so that it can whet the appetite for folks. Because I think it's important as an author, just tell us a little bit about it, okay?
Sure, yeah. The title is Theories of a Paranormal Investigator. It is being sold on Amazon. You can either type in the author name, which is Israel Petty, or you can type in the title of my book. Either way, it'll come up on the front page. It's a pretty distinct cover. It's basically black and orange, and it's got the angel. I believe the depiction is Lucifer. I wanted a fallen angel on the front. And one of the reasons why was because of the direction my book was going. Going back to 1 John 4:1 to test every spirit, which I feel is the staple to every investigator when going in, whether it is angels you are dealing with or demons, where demons come from versus what we were taught. It's not only my own theories I go through, it's other people's theories as well. Things that we pick up in pop culture that for some reason that we hold true. There are a lot of theories that
when you boil it down, you're like, wait a second, this doesn't hold any scriptural value. You can't find any spiritual text on some of these theories. Yet some people hold these dear to them. I go over that in my chapter. It's called A Demons, What Are They? I go pretty deep with the topic of hell, the version of hell that we hold dear to us, and versus what hell most likely is, which is vastly different. Ironically, the version of hell, and I don't go over this in my book because I actually published my book by the time I found this out, the version of hell that I actually believe exists is the same version of hell that that Judaism believes, which I found to be very interesting. But I digress. The book covers the afterlife, angels and demons, how ghosts fit into all this, spiritual warfare. I touch on that a little bit, as well as a few paranormal experiences of my own. But it, for a lot of information, the book is actually quite short. I think it runs at 44 pages. So if you're not a big reader, it's perfect for you because you can go from cover to cover pretty quickly. But it's definitely it should definitely be added to an investigator's arsenal when it comes to wanting to learn. And that's why I wanted to keep it short. I didn't want it to be a very long book. I wanted it to feel like something that you could pack up and take with you and just have, you know, not this big heavy thing that you're like flipping through like crazy. You know, I wanted something that felt mobile. Speaking of mobile, you can get it digital. I actually recommend getting it digital. It is a little bit cheaper. So, but yeah,
well,
it
great.
Is my first book I've published. So.
And it won't be the last, will it?
No, not at all. In fact, I will begin writing my next book probably within the next couple of months.
Well, good. Well, what we'd like to do is I'd like to make sure that Jackson and I both get a copy, and we'd like to bring you back sooner than later to talk a little more about your book and to continue this discussion. Jackson, would that be okay with you?
Oh, that sounds really good. In fact, I'd love to have an in-depth conversation with you about hell as well, Israel. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Not to be too morbid, but yeah, I have some theories as well, and like knowledge then to put ideas together. I mean, you know what I mean? So I would love to be able to get in contact with you when you're free at some point in time and be able to discuss more on the subject. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, yep, excellent.
Well, that's what we do. We bring people together here on Paranormal Down Under.
That's it.
All the shows that I'm part of, I like to bring people together. We come together, we talk, we learn. So that's, I think, a very important thing. So, Israel, thank you very much for being our guest tonight on Paranormal Down Under. We appreciate
it. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that worked out. And Jackson, it's always good to have you as my co-host.
Oh, always, Dr. John, always.
And we will be back next week. Now, as we always like to do, it's plug time. So we got about 3 minutes left, so everybody gets 1 minute to plug what's going on. Now, Israel, I bet you're going to plug your book and whatever else. So what you going to plug for us tonight?
I went through my book a lot, but once again, I'll just reiterate. My book name is Theories of a Paranormal Investigator. My first and last name is Israel Petty. You can also find me on social media at IzzyCentric. That's IzzyCentric. I'm not as active on Twitter, but you can find me on Facebook and Instagram.
Very good, and thank you. And I hope everybody will get your book and enjoy it. I'm going to get a copy. And I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks a lot. And what have you plugged?
Okay, well, I'd love to plug Paranormal Down Under here mm-hmm. through Scary Cards. We're on at least once a week. Anyone that wants to be able to share with their friends, please get anyone to ring in if they want to ask questions. Share them with the conversation. We love to have people call in. And also a big shout out to the She Squatchers and Matt Delph at Becro and everyone else that is a part of Scarycast. And please tune in because it's a great show. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
That's right. Absolutely. Just please shoot us a message on the on our Facebook page. And thanks a lot for being with us, Jackson. And I'll say, check me out on Friday night, 6 p.m. at the Rabun County Public Library for Library After Dark. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about Bigfoot. We're going to be talking about the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. And we will have Marshall Masters, who is our Planet X guru, talking about Planet X and also about survival after Planet X. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Most,
thanks a lot.
Most definitely.
Jackson.
A big shout out to Marshall as well.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, Jackson,
yep.
Will I see you next week on Paranormal Down Under?
Most definitely. Thank you
very much,
Israel, for being a great guest tonight. And look forward to the show next week. And all of our listeners tuning in. It's going to be a great night.
All right. Everybody have a good one. We'll see you next week on Paranormal Down Under.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, my goodness. From North America to Australia, it's Paranormal Down Under. I am Dr. John saying hello to everybody. We're so glad you're with us tonight. We have got a bang-up show. This is going to be something. This one just happened in a matter of 5 minutes this evening. And I'm so excited about our guest. First of all, I want to say hello to my buddy, our man in Australia, Jackson Samuel. Jackson, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well there. Thank you, Dr. John. It's actually a beautiful day down here at the moment. It's only 2 p.m. in the afternoon. The sun's shining. I couldn't complain. I'd love to have a great shout out to all of our listeners and also a big welcome to our guests for tonight.
Well, thank you very much. And of course, you told me that right before the show, you were talking to our great friend, Jenna Grover of the She Squatchers. And I want to say that the She Squatchers are number one.